Bibles, you can open those things up to Mark chapter 4 this morning. We've been going through the Gospel of Mark, just checking out the ministry of Jesus. It's really incredible to have books like this that really accurately portray the life, the ministry, and the death of this man Jesus, who claimed to be God, who claimed to be the Son of God, the living hope of the world, the one that comes to take sins away from the world, the one that comes to bring eternal life to those who believe. So we want to jump into chapter 4. Chapter 4 in the book of Mark functions as one of two chapters. It's all about the teaching of Jesus. So Mark probably here is kind of collecting a lot of the teachings of Jesus and kind of meshing them together and just giving us the kind of thing that Jesus presented when he was out gathering people together, having like worship services. So we'll get to kind of hear this parable. It's one of the most famous parables. It's known as the parable of the sower or the parable of the soils. So I think there's something for all of us as we get into God's word. By the way, tonight when we do the baptism service, we're going to be finishing up the whole last part of chapter 4 that has about three or four other parables that we're going to be diving into tonight. As we practice baptism and eating pizza together. So Jesus often taught in parables, and parables are earthly stories that represent and help teach philosophical, spiritual, or theological truths. So Jesus practiced this teaching of parables, which was quite unique. And one thing that he was doing is he was getting his teaching to kind of the lowest shelf so that even children could understand what he was saying. But also at the same time, because he would teach in these parables, he would often confuse like learned people, religious people. The parables kind of had this twofold or manyfold intentions to reveal and conceal the truth that he was teaching. So I wrote in my notes here that he often taught in parables to, first of all, distinguish himself from other teachers. Jesus was unique. He taught in a way that even children could understand, even just normal, typical people like me and you could understand. He wanted to make supernatural truths simple for those who would receive his truths. But also, Jesus clearly had the intention of teaching in these parables to actually confound some people. He actually concealed truth. He was actually using these parables to weed out imposters. A lot of times in Christianity, we're all about getting everybody in, right? So some of you, I grabbed you out there on the street, like, come in, you know? But Jesus would speak, and a lot of times his intentions was to even push people out, and his word sometimes tends to do that. So we're going to dive into this parable, and I'm just really going to say three things. And the first thing is this: Jesus came to be heard by his people. Jesus came to be heard by his people. So the necessity of Jesus' teaching is very important. Jesus had to come and be a teacher. He most often was referred to as a rabbi, which is kind of a Jewish Hebrew kind of idea of like a powerful teacher, someone that's bringing truth to bear on people's lives. We need his teaching. We need his life. We need his book. So in this text, he's going to talk about a sower coming out and planting seeds. That's going to be the earthly story. Anyone ever planted a seed before? You maybe dig way back to your elementary age days where somebody made you plant a marigold. We all kind of get that, like seeds make plants. So God in the flesh, Jesus, told a story about a sower. And I think, first of all, that sower represents him. He says that the seed, we'll see later, the seed in this story represents the Word of God. And so Jesus came as the very Word of God, the prophet of God. We've been talking about that through this series. He is bringing the Word. He's bringing this truth that we desperately need. So we are incredibly privileged to have the book of Mark, to have all the Gospels, have all the Bible that really tells us the kind of things that Jesus taught, that clearly gives us the Word of God. So Jesus came to be heard by his people. That's what it means that he was the anointed one. He was the Christ. He came to be heard as a prophet by his people. So verse 1 says this. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. We remember, he was a beach bum, right? He loved hanging out at the sea, teaching at the sea, because that's where all the just common, kind of normal people were. There was a lot of fishing, working going on. So Jesus is teaching by the sea. And get this, a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. Now, what's really cool that I think is kind of cool, you know, some of us got up a little earlier maybe than others, and we loaded these speakers into some cars, and we set up, there's something called a snake. Isn't it? We're not a snake handling church or anything like that, but there is a snake. It's something that gets cords from here to there. It's running over there. It won't bite you or nothing. But we've set up this like sound system, and I got this Britney Spears gadget on my head so that you guys can hear me. So one thing in the old world that Jesus practiced is you could get in a boat and you could shove off you kind of move off the shore about 15 feet or so, and he would speak, he would aim his voice at the water, and he would, you know, move his mouth and that kind of thing, and the water would actually help carry his voice to the crowd. So Jesus is kind of practicing in a first century amphitheater sound system kind of thing here. And this is really neat that Jesus wants to be heard. And so the context, you can think about this large crowd. They've seen Jesus heal a guy with like a messed up hand, right? He has made a quadriplegic man walk. He's casting demons out everywhere. In fact, demon-possessed people are running up to him and like, whoa, Jesus, what are you doing here? What do you want me to do? I mean, he's this powerful miracle worker, and he's drawn this crowd, and he pushes out in the water, and the people are just probably silent, waiting to see what this miraculous man is going to say. There's silence. And then he starts speaking, verse 2. He was teaching them many things in parables, these earthly stories that represent theological truths that anybody can understand. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, and here's the parable, listen. You see this theme over and over again today, and we're calling this sermon, Have You Heard? Right? Listen, behold, here comes the parable. A sower, a farmer, a planter, he went out to sow. So hearing Jesus is very important. And Jesus is hearable. Do you guys have any like loud friends? Or you may be the loud friend, right? And Jesus, I don't think Jesus was a real loud person until he got on that boat and he, you know, had his boat amplification voice on the water. But he was a person that would be heard. And we're going to see that in this parable. He was a person, just like a farmer. You ever met I'm from the South, and I know several farmer kind of guys. And they will go out dusk till dawn, and you can be guaranteed they're going to grow something, right? I mean, they work hard. They plant. They throw their seed everywhere. They fertilize their seed. Something's going to grow. And that's the point here of what we're talking about in this parable. Jesus came to be heard by his people. He made himself accessible. He made himself loud enough so that people could hear him. And he is speaking to you today through his word. And verse 3 asks us, will you listen? Will you behold? Will you see? Will you regard what he's saying? So here's the thing. This farmer is sowing in Jesus' story. We'll see later this represents the word of God going out, the message of God, the teaching of the gospel that Jesus brought in his life and ministry. He goes out. But look, something happens. When the planter throws the seed, something happens. Verse 4, and as he sowed, some of the seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. So God's got a message for you. He's got a word from you. But I want you to know there's a cosmic conflict happening, trying to keep you from getting this word in that Jesus so sovereignly is sharing. So verse 5, other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no grain. And the other seed fell into good soil. Verse 8, by the way, up to verse 8, doesn't that feel like any time you've ever planted? That feels like all the experiences I've had planting stuff, right? Doesn't go real well. One point of this parable is that Jesus, our Jesus, he's going to sow a seed. And there is going to be fruit. There is going to be vegetation. There is going to be growth. There is going to be life. Look at verse 8. Other seed fell onto good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing. And I love this. There will be growth. There will be fruit. God's word will have its effect on you. The only question is, have you received it? And we'll get to that a little bit later. So the seed fell on good soil. In verse 9, it says that, in last part of verse 8, it says that it was growing and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold. And 100-fold. So we see in that last part of the verse, the ministry of Jesus that still continues today, he will be heard by his people, and there will be growth. There will be new life. There will be. God is sovereignly throwing his seed out, and it's working. Verse 9 says this, though, and he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So it was really odd. I wanted to do this illustration. You throw this picture up here, Justin. But my little kids, I've got four little kids, some of you know. And my little daughter, this morning even, she played this game, telephone. You guys familiar with this game? You whisper like a saying, like I think my daughter's message was, you got to eat Cheerios every day. She told her mom that, and then her mom whispered it in my ear, and then it's like, I say it, and did the message get through clearly? So Ellen, it's a pretty decent thing on TV, Ellen's Game of Games. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that. The kids, we watch it sometimes, and there's this one game that's this telephone game, but it's about four or five people, and they put these big ears on, but what these actually are, you can tell on the person to our back, they're actually earmuffs so that you can't hear anything. And so the game is one person with the earmuffs is screaming the message to another person with the earmuffs, and then they try to read the lips or maybe hear the mum, and then share it to the next person. It's really funny, and it's super funny because it looks like they have ears, doesn't it? It looks like they could hear even better than just with their ears. And I wanted to bring this out because the truth here in Jesus is just because you have ears doesn't mean you have ears that hear Jesus. Just because you have heard or read the Bible doesn't mean that you have actually heard and received the Bible. Just because you've been around Christians and you've heard Christian stuff doesn't make you a Christian. But there has to be a reception that happens. And the truth that's in this text is hearing Jesus isn't simple. So right, this point is that Jesus did come to sovereignly be heard by his people, and somebody will hear by the gift and the grace of God. Somebody will hear, but not necessarily everybody will really hear. Because there's a conflict brewing. There's a sun that's scorching plants. There's birds. There's rocks. There's stuff that is in conflict with the kingdom of God as it seeks to come and plant its seed and grow its garden. And so we have to understand that there is a conflict brewing. And I find myself in that thing every week with trying to preach the word, get somebody in a seat to hear the word. You know, there is a conflict brewing, and it is of cosmic proportions. Jesus goes on, he explains a little bit about all this. But the big point here, and what I love here, is that Jesus, in this story, this farmer, he doesn't just throw the seed onto good soil. Do you guys get that? Because a few tricks I've learned about planting stuff like vegetables. Basically, if you wanna grow vegetables, you have to pay more for dirt than you would pay if you just went to the grocery store and bought vegetables. Because you got to get some good soil with fertilizer. It's got to have some dead things in it that's been decomposing for years. You got to have a little bit of stinky stuff in that dirt to make it work. But what I love about Jesus is Jesus doesn't just go to the places and to the people where it seems right and reasonable that his kingdom's going to grow. Where does he go? He goes everywhere. Like, you see Jesus throwing seed on a gravel driveway, thinking, man, something could grow here. And the truth is, he's indiscriminate about who can hear his word and who can receive his word. He gives it to all people without discretion. So he came to be heard by his people. I wanted to talk about this. We used to have an old dime. Do we have that picture? It's kind of hard to see, but in the middle of this old dime, I may be saying the word wrong, so somebody can correct me. But this thing in the middle, this stick, if you can see the top of it, it's got an axe head on it. It's a bundle of sticks, and one of the sticks has an axe head on it. This is called a fascis. Is that okay with everybody if I call it that? I think it's a faxis or fax machines, fax something. That's what that axe is called. And it's something from the Roman Empire. The emperor would basically carry around a little toy axe. It wouldn't really, like, if you got in a fight with him, you probably could take him. I don't know if you could take him, but I feel like I could take him. It was just like a little baby axe. And what it represented, though, was that he was the emperor, and he had the power to decapitate people, to execute judgment wherever he decided it should fall. And so we have that. We used to have that on our dime. They took it off and put like some straw or something on there now, so you don't got that on. Don't check your dimes. This is an old dime. If you got a dime like this, I think it's worth about a couple $100. But we use this symbol, and the emperor used this symbol. But in Revelation, Jesus has a different symbol. Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 17 has the imagery of a huge sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus. A sword that represents that Jesus, with his words, can execute judgment. And Jesus has this pronounced, profound, sovereign power in his words. And so he came to be heard by his people. But realize also that Jesus comes one day with his words to judge. And the power of Jesus' words is the same power at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, where God just spoke things into existence. Let there be light. Boom. Light. Let there be dogs. Boom. That's not actually in the Bible, but let there be life. Let there be living beasts. Let there be people created in our image. And the same word of God that created everything that you know about is speaking to you to start a new work in your life or continue the work in your life. So Jesus came to be heard by his people. And then get this. Number two, Jesus came to not be heard by those who aren't his people. Jesus has purpose even when he talks to people that aren't hearing him, that are rejecting him. He has purpose in those as well. So verse 10, let's look at it. He starts to explain why he talks in parables. So verse 10, when he was alone, and this is really funny, his disciples, Jesus to them, it's so funny to watch this struggle. These people walking closely with Jesus, like they were all into it because it's like, hey, Jesus just fixed a man's arm on a Sabbath day. And he's talking to the religious leaders. He's telling them what's up. He has these big conferences out by the ocean. He gets in a boat and he speaks and everybody listens and some people understand. But they come to him and they don't understand something. They got this question. Verse 10, he was alone. Those around him with the 12, they asked him about parables. And they're like, why do you speak in parables? In verse 11, he said to them something pretty incredible. He says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. So that the people closest to Jesus that he really traveled with, they were getting kind of this depth of knowledge from Jesus. They would have these little backdoor discussions, these backyard discussions, where Jesus would clearly talk to them and explain to him who he was. And they didn't always understand it. We get glimpses of this in the gospel. He says, you've been given the secret of the kingdom of God. And I think that all of us, as Bible hearing, word hearing Christians, we have this same thing. We have the secrets of the kingdom. The mystery, that's probably a better translation here. The mystery of Jesus, the mystery of God has been revealed to us. We have heard it, we have received it in the person of Jesus. So, so the secret has been given to the disciples, but for those outside, everything is in parables. So I remember, like, when I was a kid, and I was going to tell this story like a girl liked me, but that wasn't very often. So sometimes I would maybe see a girl, like, you know, older, elementary, and it was like, you know, you needed to, like, go out with her. We didn't really know what that meant, but if you were going out with a girl, like, you were still afraid to talk to her, but you were going out with her. And a lot of the girls that I would try to, like, go out with, which was rare. I don't want to inflate. My wife says that I use too much inflation in my illustration, so just putting it out there. But the girls, you know, they would play hard to get. You know what I mean? Like, you would talk to them or something like that, and they would say, leave me alone, you know. And they would play hard to get, you know. You try to, like, swing on the swings, and they would leave, right? And they play hard to get. So you had to learn, you know, somebody liked you. You had to play hard to get, because you play hard to get, that'll make them like you more, I guess. I don't know how that works. So what I wanted to say here is that Jesus, in a sense, Jesus is hard to get, but he ain't playing. Like, he's hard. It's complex. It is a blessing. It is a miracle if you get Jesus. He's hard to get, and he's not playing. It's serious business. So Jesus said in his ministry, there's some we receive, but there's some people we don't receive. And we'll see later, the truth is that they are hard-hearted people. Well, we've seen it all through the ministry of Jesus. He's talking to hard-headed, hard-hearted people that won't receive him. But there is this tension of the power of God, his control over all things, especially concerning people hearing or not hearing or having ears to hear. And then human, like, responsibility or free will or some of that. That's clearly coming up in the story. So he says, the secret things have been given to you guys, but those outsiders, they're going to keep getting kind of the mysterious until they get it. Then in verse 12, he says this, that they may indeed see but not perceive. So we said earlier, you might have ears, you might hear, but you're not really hearing you're not really receiving what Jesus has. So verse 12, they may indeed see, but not perceive. they may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And I see in verse 12, forgiveness is there for anyone, but they have to turn and be forgiven. They have to hear with their ears, the ears of their heart, the ears that Jesus softens their ground. So there is this tension between the sovereignty of God and the will of humanity. So he can speak in power, but there are those that just get parables, according to Jesus. By the way, Jesus said some crazy stuff, partly in his ministry, sovereignly, on purpose, in control, because, get this, he needed to be killed. So he sometimes just said crazy stuff so he could keep stroking that fire so that they would put him on the cross so that he could pay for your sins with his atoning death. So sometimes Jesus kept people out there so that they would ultimately bring the campaign against him so that he would be executed. So in that sense, he came to not be heard. Let me just tell you four things. I don't know if we have this on a slide or not, but about what this means, that Jesus came not to be heard by those who aren't his. Let's throw this out there. Acknowledge him. I wrote this in my notes. Acknowledge him as the one you need to hear. That he would be the source for your ears. That he would be the one you need to hear. Rejoice at hearing with ears he has given you. Number three, I wrote, make the most of his word. If you're hearing his word, do something with it. Right? Make the most of his word. Don't be discouraged when others don't hear. Because God casts his word indiscriminately. And his word will produce fruit. So Jesus came to be heard. He came to speak a message with power for people to hear his voice. So we can get a little stuck there. Some people can get stuck there and say, man, if it's going to happen, if he's going to hear, I'll just sit around, do what I'm doing until he breaks through and activates my life by his sovereign power. But that's not really what the Bible teaches. So the Bible teaches that God is sovereignly pursuing you. He's throwing the word out there. But the text also, this parable also has to be thought of as I need to think about me and my reception of the word. I know some of you don't know about it, but I'm still working with analog television. So if I want to get the basketball game in sometimes, I have to stand on my head and put the antenna like between a couple of books so I can get NBC to come in so I can watch the Lakers or something like that. You got to get set up so that you can receive the word in the best way. And so this sovereignty thing, you say, oh man, well, I'm probably just one of those that's not going to hear. But get this, Jesus came so that his people, which is you, because you're hearing his word is coming to you and you're responding to his word. So he's going to sow his seed your way. He's going to throw seed everywhere. And so it's his work, it's his program, he's in control, but you're still responsible to have your soil ready to receive his word. So these next verses really show us this is our part, what we can do to catch the seed. This is what we can do to catch the seed according to the parable. So he said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand the other parables? So this is a really important parable. It has to do with how God communicates, how he gets his word out. It's a really important parable. It's going to help you understand all the other things that Jesus teaches. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. Right? So like I could just say, I could go home. And we got spring coming. I'm hoping. I'm praying spring's on its way. I could use a little more sunshiny days. How about some other members of the family? Could you use some sunshiny days? All right. We're a little benevolent about it, but Yeah, I don't know what that word meant either, but we're excited about spring. Amen, anybody? Who wants some more winter? Keep that groundhog from seeing that thing. That's already happened. I think he saw it, didn't he? He didn't, so it's shorter. All right. But what's going to happen when spring happens is your grass is going to start growing if you got grass to cut. Now, one thing I could do is I could say, well, you know, God's just sovereign over the grass, so I'm going to let the grass grow. And then I would let that grass grow all year, and I would attract all type of wildlife to my yard, and the police eventually would come. And has anyone ever had the police actually make you cut your grass? I've had that one a couple times. Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate you sharing that today. But it is God's sovereignty that my grass grows. But it is my responsibility to cut my grass, isn't it? Some of y'all help me later when that's actually the case. So this soil is coming, and the sower is the word. The seeds of God's word are coming to you. You guys get that in the parable? That's what Jesus is teaching. The sower, he's throwing seed. Anyone ever thrown seed? It's pretty incredible. You out there, I've been in a huge field. I have some experience like farming. When you're in a huge field, throwing seed. I've done watermelon, squash. I'm such a hillbilly. When you're out there in that field throwing that seed, there is like endless possibility. You start getting so excited about what this seed could do. Just throwing seed. That's what Jesus has done. But look, there's these four soils. Which one are you? The first one is bird bait. Bird's going to eat the seed. This is when you passively listen to the word of God, basically ignore it. One ear out the other, kind of listening to the word of God. Verse 15, so these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. So as we're sharing the word with our friends, we're sharing the word on Sundays, there is a cosmic conflict out there. C.S. Lewis, in one of his books, wrote about how demons are on the shoulders of people when they come into church on Sunday, and they have their hands over their ears so that they can't hear. It's invisible, he said. There's a cosmic thing going on where the enemy wants to take away the word that's sown in there. So don't be a passive listener to God. Now, I can help you a little bit with this because I am an ADD kid from way back, right? I put the D and the A in ADD, all right? Attention deficit disorder. So I went to the doctor as soon as I was 8 years old about ADD, had all the medicine and everything. And some of you know my story. I have degrees and whatever, and the Lord really blessed me through that. But I want to share with you some tricks so that you don't passively listen to the word of the Lord. There's first of all, don't be sleepy, right? Like, don't be sleepy. Try to stay awake. Like, I would do this in class. I would try to sleep and then sit there in class and hear. Move your body so that your mind can stay focused. So I was in class, and I'm moving my body. And my teacher was okay with it because she knew I was like an ADD kid from way back. Sit in the front seat. Get right up real close to where that teaching's coming from. Get in the front. Look at these seats. There's no one in the front seat. But in my English class, if I was going to get out of English alive, I had to sit in the front seat, and I had to keep moving. All while she was teaching, I'm moving. When you have to read, you cover your ears. It don't matter who thinks you're crazy. You got to cover your ears if you're going to focus and read. You cover your ears. You may have to like la 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 make some sounds. You know you want to hear that teacher. You have to stand up, go to the back of the room, start moving, start doing jumping jacks, move around so that you can hear. You don't be passive to the Word of God. Get aggressive with the Word of God. Because there's a cosmic conflict out there where that Word is trying to be stole away from you. So it's basketball season. And one thing I get really frustrated about, I played basketball as like a preteen pretty much. And I don't remember a whole lot from it. But I remember I would shoot when the coach hollered for me to shoot. And then the one thing he would tell me to do is follow my shot. Like, go after the shot, try to get the rebound, because I usually miss the shot. So the best strategy was I would shoot the shot, then go get the shot, go back, shoot the shot again, do that as many times as you can. And I get really frustrated when I'm watching basketball and I see those jokers, they shoot the shot and they're like, oh yeah, I made that. No, you did it. Like, your percentage will always be less than 50%. You gotta follow your shot. Don't get passive. Get aggressive with basketball and get aggressive with the Word of God. Like, follow it up. Keep after it. Another problem people have is shallow roots. They don't let the Word get deep into their soul. You got to let the Word get deep into your soul. Verse 16 says, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the Word, immediately they receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves. So the first one's sad. Someone would just kind of let the Word of God go in one ear and out the other. And the next one's also sad. It's sad that someone would hear the Word but not let it mess with them. Like, the Word of God should mess with you. When you're reading it at home, or maybe when you're hearing it from a friend, or when you're at a service, you should let it mess with you. Have you ever tried to pull a tree down? Probably not, because you weren't an ADD kid from way back. But when you try to pull a tree down, it is difficult, because trees have deep, deep roots. You should try it. Not a little tree, a big tree that has roots deep down in the ground. It is hard to pull. All of you going to go home and try to pull your tree down. Listen to Psalm 1. It says this: blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. There's a great, great sermon here. But it says in verse 2, his delight is on the law of the Lord, which is connected to this idea of the Word of God. And on the law he meditates day and night. In verse 3, this is what he's like. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in seasons, and its leaf does not wither in all that he does when he prospers. One day, just like our saintly grandmother we've been talking about today, your life's going to come to an end. Someone like me may stand up and preach your sermon at your funeral. Are we going to be able to say something like this? Man, their roots were down deep, and they just bloomed. They just bloomed all through their life. Man, they had life coming out of them. I want you to know, if you'll let the Word of God take root in your heart and put down some roots into your heart, and not just be surface with the Word of God, but let it actually get into you and work you over a little bit, well, you will have this statement. Yields its fruit. It's fruitful. It multiplies. Its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Would you be a big one with a lot of birds lived in you? Or would you be like one that kind of fell over, right? Like rotted down. Well, I want to be the one that the birds live in, right? Since it's parable day, I'll do that. You know, you don't need to just occasionally let the Word rock you. One thing that I remember more than any sermon or anybody ever speaking into my life, I was about 14. I was left home alone. Probably up to no good, usually, when you're home alone and you're 14. Amen. Anybody testify, repent, and say, glory to God that I'm not that anymore. Except if you are there, God can use you. God can do great things with 14-year-olds or however old you are, 100-year-olds. But I remember being 14, home alone, and I had heard somebody talking about the Word. I opened the thing up and just started reading. And I was reading the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus was talking about, if you've ever lusted in your heart, you've committed adultery. He said something like, if you've ever hated someone in your heart, you're guilty of murder. And I remember skipping around reading a few things like that and just being a 14-year-old, reading the Word, it started rocking my heart. I remember being 14-year-old, probably just watched like Terminator or something, whatever, you know, Home Alone 14-year-old would do, and was reading this stuff, and man, God came in with His Word. And I'll never forget that, man. I remember just being overwhelmed, knowing that I was a sinner, knowing that I needed Jesus. I let the Word rock me in that moment. And we need to long for that kind of thing every week, every day, letting the Word come in and mess with us. We need to get our roots down. So this other dirt, this other soil is like getting lost in the crowd. It's a crowded soil, a crowded soil. Verse 18, and the others are the ones sown among thorns. I hate thorns. Thorns showed up in Genesis chapter 3. You remember that? Like, Adam, you're going to go to work and you're going to get cut by thorns, man, because you're a sinner, because this world's broken. So the other one fell down among thorns. And those are the ones who hear the Word. Listen to this, family, verse 19. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the Word, and it proves unfruitful. About 5 years ago, the Lord started calling me to plant a church. And I knew that the Bible had all of these agricultural analogies and teachings, knew about this parable. There's a lot of other things. And so when we talk about planting the church, what we're really talking about is very close to this parable, that we take the Word of God, the gospel, and we plant it into a community, and we start to see a new community grow out of that. So one thing that I did, I don't know if it was the Lord or not, but I thought, well, I grew up kind of in this hillbilly setting, and you know, my grandma, she was always growing stuff and working in the garden. I need to just like try a garden to see what some of these parables are about. And so I bought about 16 different vegetables, and I planted them all in this plot of dirt, and I did. I spent a fortune on the dirt. It's crazy. I think my grandmother would roll over in her grave if she knew how much I spent on dirt, because she just used whatever dirt she had. But I need Lowe's dirt to make anything live, right? So I'm in this like 15 by 4 feet fertilizer. I got my seeds in there. And so I didn't know what I was doing. I was just throwing seeds everywhere, and I didn't remember where I put the squash or the anything, and so everything started growing. And I had two huge problems that summer. One problem was the groundhogs. That's why I don't even care if that groundhog sees his shadow or not, because that summer I had an all-out war with about 7 groundhogs. Everyone almost lost their life because of these groundhogs. So there is a conflict brewing. There are things trying to get your seeds, eat your vegetation. But the other problem I had is that, and it's the hardest, most challenging thing when you're planting stuff, is all manner of stuff starts growing in your garden. And you got to pull out the things that's going to choke out your plant. You got to pull out even sometimes the good stuff. Even the stuff that could become good stuff, you got to pull that out so that your plants can grow. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. If you don't remove the things from your life, the Word of God will not develop in you. It talks about the cares of the world. Well, we all got cares in the world, right? But his point is, don't have too many cares of the world. Like if you got a kid, like feed your kid, right? Like take care of your kid, love your kid, be a good parent to your kid. But sometimes having more cares than you really have to have will prevent God from doing what he wants to do in your life. The deceitfulness of riches. You ever said like, man, if I just had this, everything would be good. You know what? Every single person in the world's ever said that, didn't they? Hadn't they? And every single person in the world that gets those, she's like, nah, that didn't do it. Right? That's why celebrities still are killing themselves. That's why professional football players still go to drugs. You got everything in the world, but what they don't have is the word of God abiding in them, growing them, desire for other things. So he's clearing room. I was clearing room when I was trying to make that garden. I had to pull stuff out. I had to pull weeds out. And he wants to clear room in your life. When I was on whatever I was talking about when I was 14 and the word of God started rocking me, the Lord, he was starting to clear stuff out of my life. Listen to this fourth soil, and this is really our hope. This is really our hope, this fourth soil. Look at this, verse 20. But those who were sown on good soil, they're the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. That's a pretty good taxonomy, right? That you would hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. That's what you're looking for in your life. If you're asking today, what soil am I? And I hope you will. Are you the soil that the bird can just real, like it's just one ear out the other, barely even listening to God, don't even care what he has to say. The bird's going to take what God is giving you. Satan's going to take it. Right, are you this shallow soil? You never really let the word rock you. You never let it get in deep. You never let it really affect your life. Or are you the one that maybe, you've been walking with the Lord, but it's not going to go all the way down because you just got so many cares or so many other things that they're going to take you away from the God that you love. But this fourth soil, listen to it, this good soil, they hear the word, accept the word, and bear fruit. Does that soil describe you? We need to be that soil. And I love this next part, the bearing the fruit part. It says that whatever fruit you think you can bear, God can blow that up 30 times. No, maybe 60 times, maybe 100 times. It says 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Basically what God is saying, if the word of God is abiding in you and you're good soil, you're receiving it, you're accepting it, you're going to blow up with the kind of stuff that God's going to do around you. Not literally, but like revival's going to break out from you. Like revival doesn't happen in here on Sunday mornings. God doing awesome things in our community happens in you Monday through Saturday. Allowing the word of God to penetrate your soul. Make you a true multiplier. They hear the word, they accept it, they bear fruit. And ultimately how they do that, every plant that's ever been birthed out of the ground, it has what in it? Seeds to make more plants. So the real question to begin to ask about am I good soil is to look around and see, are there other things that are in good soil and are they starting to grow as well? So we call ourselves church planters as we join into this thing, the Gates Church. We gather people in the name of Jesus. And this parable has so much to do with that. God calls us to not only be plants, but to become the sower. He gives us his word so that we can go out and share it with others. We can be the ones who hear. So Jesus came to be heard by his people. Jesus came to not be heard by his people. And we need to be soil that receives his word. Have you heard today? I want you to know he's speaking. He's calling. He is sowing seed. We need to get active hearing Him. And we need to get active also sending His word out. Let's bow our head and pray this prayer. Father, we are grateful for all of Your work in our life. God, we are...